Merry Christmas. God's grace, his gifts in Jesus Christ be yours today in the Savior. Amen. Well, Christmas, it's a time that seems to be very much about children, doesn't it? When you look at all the songs that we sing out there, you look at the TV specials that come on, gingerbread, cookies, presents, all these things seem to be very child-oriented, don't they? I want to ask you a question then today based on that. Are you a child? And do you receive the kingdom of God like a little child? Well, let's take a look at our opening scripture today in Mark chapter 10. This is beginning at verse 13. Brings up something very important God wants to share with us. It says, "And they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them." So how are we to receive the kingdom of God? Like little children. The word there in the Greek is paideion, for children, okay? Which means little children, very young. It can also mean infants. Very, very little children. Do you receive the kingdom of God like little children? Am I looking at little children here? Now, there are certain scriptures that teach us that we're not to be like children, we're to be adults, right? For example, in 1 Corinthians 14, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking. Be babes in evil, but in thinking be mature." So we're supposed to be grown up there. Also, you have Ephesians 4, "God's given to you pastors, so that you may no longer be children," right? "Carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the cunning of men, by their craftiness and deceitful wiles, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up, to be adults, in every way, into him who is the head, into Christ." So, in some ways, God says, don't be children, be mature adults in the faith. In other ways, he says, be like little children. And Jesus adds emphasis to this. You know what kind of emphasis he adds? He says, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you will never enter it. And if you read that in the Greek, that's a double negative, which means you will never, in no wise, ever enter the kingdom of God unless you receive it like a little child. And so, since it's Christmas and we're thinking about how Christmas, children receive Christmas, let's think about how we're to receive the kingdom of God today. What does it mean to be like a little child? Maybe we could look at some children and see how they receive Christmas and understand a little more how we should receive God's kingdom. Are you children today? Answer me. Are you going to be like little children and receive it as such? Well, how do little children receive God's gift and kingdom and, for example, Christmas in this case? Well, first of all, little children expect great things from their father, right? Wonderful things, and many and great, because they know that their father's good. Is that how you are with God, with respect to the kingdom of God? You expect great things from him? Are you with this joyful anticipation? You know, when you're little children, think about this. You go to sleep on Christmas Eve. How are you? How'd you go to sleep? You were excited. You could hardly get your eyes closed. You're like the song goes, right? Visions of sugar plums dancing in their heads. And you're so excited about what's coming the next day. Contrast that with how you are now, right? When you get old. Okay. Think about this, would you? I heard a couple this year, maybe even myself in other years. Shame on me, but when you get older, I heard a husband this year say to his wife, "So do you want anything?" She said, "No." She said to him, "So you want anything?" "No." "All right, let's both agree to get each other nothing." And then they had this like pact in order to make sure neither of them felt guilty for getting each other nothing. They are old fuddy-duddies in that case. They've lost the joy of gift-giving. And that is lame, that is decrepit, that is joyless, and that is just plain old, okay? Children expect great things from their father. And though we may feel that way with respect to Christmas, I understand with husbands and wives, you got everything. You don't need to get anything, each other everything. But let's never be that way when it comes to God's gifts and his kingdom, right? Because he has a great father. He gives great gifts in the kingdom. And we're to be joyful like a child looking for it. And that's how the saints have always been. And that's a characteristic of the saints. For example, you look here at just after Jesus was born. Remember, they brought him up to Jerusalem. And Simeon saw him. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the kingdom of Israel. What was he doing? Say it out loud. He was looking for the kingdom of heaven. And then we also read there, Anna, a few minutes later, she was an old prophetess. And it says, coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of Jesus to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. So the saints are always looking for, expecting great things from their Father, looking for the promised kingdom to come. I want to ask you, how about you? Have you kind of forgotten? Are you looking for, excitedly, the kingdom of God to come? And God's gifts, I want you to know, are tailored to the best for his children. Jesus says, what man of you, if he asks for bread, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Heavenly Father who is in heaven will give good gifts, good things to those who ask him. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, etc. So do you expect great things from your Father? Are you going to reclaim that today as little children? David said, may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. And God says in Psalm 81, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. All right, so put that into your heart. May God put it into your heart, especially looking for the kingdom of God to come, which is promised, which we talked about in the children's sermon, right? There is so much more to come. Look for it. Then we can also turn over to Matthew 18, point number 2 here. Jesus explains a little more about this. In verse 1 to 4, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And then watch, he explains that. Whoever humbles himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So how should we be like children? Come on. Humble, right? Lower yourself down. Receive it. How does a child receive gifts at Christmas time? As gifts, right? In all humility, in poverty, if you will, receiving gifts from God. Does this child seek to pay these things back? It's not natural for a child. When a child receives something, he knows he has nothing to give, right? He doesn't expect to pay it back. And so when he receives a gift, he receives it as a gift with thanks. God wants to give you the kingdom as a gift of his grace. Okay? The Bible says if you try to pay for it, earn it with your own works, by the own pride of your own righteousness, you will not enter it. You can't buy heaven. We read here that the Jews fell for this very reason. That is, most of them did not receive the kingdom because they sought to buy it with their own righteousness, as, let's say, adults. Paul says, Romans 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, the Jews, is that they may be saved. I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God, but it's not enlightened. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, see, and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness, for Christ is the end of the law, that everyone who has faith may be justified. What's that mean? The Jews sought to do what in saving themselves? To pay for it themselves by their works of keeping the law in the pride of their own righteousness, and therefore they didn't submit to the free gift of righteousness that came in Jesus Christ. You want to see one of my great gifts that I had as a kid? I had a lot of them, but here I actually happen to have a few because my parents sold their house recently in Cape Cod. And one year I got this. Who's that? the Lone Ranger. You know what this is worth probably today, right? Amazing. He's even got his little gun there still. And Tonto. I mean, I received these things when I was a little kid. How did I receive these gifts? Oh, thanks, Mom and Dad. Can I pay you for them in monthly installments? You know? I mean, that would destroy the father's joy, right? When I got these things and I opened them and my parents saw my face and I was like, oh, thank you. What did I say? I just said, thank you. I receive them as a child, as a gift. We're to receive the kingdom of God in the same way. And we must, actually. Otherwise, Jesus says, you'll never enter it otherwise. It comes as a gift of grace to be received through faith. For by grace have you been saved through faith, says Paul. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. But you can receive it as a gift from God. And faith is what is the hand that receives it and lays hold of it. Romans 5, if because of Adam's trespass, death reigned through that one man, Adam, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the, watch this, free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. What did I just say there? Free gift. Do you have the free gift of righteousness? Do you receive that as a child? As only a child can receive something. A child doesn't expect to pay. A child receives it as a gift from the Father. That's how Jesus says, you must receive my kingdom. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So are you like little children when it comes to this? Remember that wicked scientist Richard Dawkins I talked about at Christmas Eve and actually Christmas as well? He's a blasphemous scientist. Wrote a whole book called The God Delusion. And he said this, and I'll quote it to you. He said, there is something infantile in the presumption that somebody else has responsibility to give your life meaning and point. The truly adult view, he says, by contrast, is that our life is as meaningful, as full and wonderful as we choose to make it. He says it's childish to let God give you meaning in your life. It's adult to find it on your own. What does that teach you about him? Unless he repents, he will in no wise ever enter the kingdom of God with that attitude. All right? The kingdom will shut upon him like an iron gate and a heavy barred door. We receive as a gift of grace, Jesus says. That's how you're to receive the kingdom, as a humble child. And the more humble you are, the greater you are, by the way. So, when God gives us great gifts, what else do children do? Receive them quickly and grasp them and believe in them by faith, if you will, when it comes to the kingdom. When you were a little child and it came to Christmas morning, how early did you get up? Come on. How early did you get up? You hardly got to sleep, right? I mean, you want to get up at like 5, get your parents going by 4:30. And as soon as it's time, I mean, I remember we used to come down. There was these red carpeted stairs going down from the upstairs down into the living room area. And all the children could get as far as the stairs, and that was the bar. No going beyond there until Dad said, go. And as soon as he got the picture and he said, go, boom, we run in there, you know, hopefully with some order, but we're tearing things open, laying hold of them quickly, right? How did it go this year for you, you old fuddy-duddies? Well, man, it was late last night. Let's get up at 7, 8, 9. We'll get around to it eventually. You got to be like children when it comes to God's gifts. Open them quickly and lay hold of them by faith, right? So many people, so many adults, I preached to them for years trying to bring them to Christ. And it's like beating against an iron door. But children, they receive them quickly and grasp them and believe. No wonder Jesus said, to such belongs the kingdom, right? We had, remember that children's festival some years ago, Scottish Highland Games we had here. We had three children came to church on account of that festival, and I was driving them home a couple days later. And I said to them, to the three children, I said, so, they're very young. I said, so are you guys Christians? And they said, no, we're Episcopalians. And they said, what's an Episcopalian? And I said, well, that's a Christian. Do you believe that there's a God? And I talked about that. I said, oh, yeah, yes, we believe there's a God. I said, do you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins? They said, we've never heard of that. Well, I said, well, we all die, right? And sin leads to actually eternal death. But Jesus loves us. God loves us. He died for us on the cross so that we might have all of our sins forgiven. Do you believe that? Yes. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I just shared the gospel in about 2 minutes, and they believed it. Then I said, do you believe in Jesus' resurrection, that he rose again? They said, no, we never heard of that. What's the resurrection? We never heard of him rising again. I said, well, after he was killed on the third day, since he's powerful and God raised him up and he's God, God raised him up and Jesus is God, he got up. And the angel said, behold, he's not here, he's risen. And I said, do you believe that? And they said, yes. Oh, do you know how long it takes with an adult to convince them of this kind of stuff? Jesus said, to such belongs the kingdom. I shared it with them, and within 3 minutes, they are believing because they receive it as a child. And I want to ask you, do you receive the kingdom of God this way? When he gives you a gift, he preaches to you something, namely the gospel, lay hold of it quickly. Don't be some old fuddy-duddy adult. It could kill you. It could really, seriously kill you because we don't know what tomorrow may bring. I've preached to some for years that have not come, but God says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas you don't know about your tomorrow. What's your life? Who knows what tomorrow may bring? There may be no tomorrow for you. Today is the day of salvation, says your God. Be like a little child. Grasp it. Open it quickly. Run and grab it and open it and then lay hold of it and let not Satan snatch your gift out of your hand. Hold it fast. Amen? And then the Father says, share these things. The kingdom of God is given to be shared. You've received these gifts freely. Give them freely. I mean, if my dad gave me the little Lone Ranger toy here and I wasn't willing to share that, of course, my sister didn't care about the Lone Ranger, but for the sake of the sermon, if they wanted to play with it, share it, right? God says, go and make disciples of all nations. My gifts are given to you to share with other people. And then one more here is when we've received the gifts of the kingdom of God, what have you received so far in Jesus Christ? Forgiveness of sins, eternal life, reconciliation, friendship with God, the Holy Spirit, the help of the angels. I mean, untold gifts, amazing gifts, right? But you know what? In our house, at least, there was always one gift more that was even bigger than all the ones that we'd seen previously. A lot of times you'd have all the gifts and you're like, oh, they're all over. And then dad would come out from the next room and say, oh, and one more. And it'd be like a big bike or something. You know, something amazing. Do you know God does the same thing with us? What has he given to you already in Jesus Christ? All these things we just mentioned, but he's got more. He's got more gifts to give you and more abundant than you can even imagine. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man even conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But we already have a glimpse of it in the scriptures by the Spirit. But we only are looking through a mirror dimly. There's so much more to come. I remember my little niece Kelly when she was 5, okay? And she got these gifts, and she was opening them under the tree. She had so many gifts, and she was so overwhelmed by them, she just... halfway through, she just sank into a puddle of goo and began weeping and bawling. And it took like 15 minutes before we could continue to open gifts because she couldn't take it. It was too much. Well, how about when God gives you all the gifts he's given you? Think about them. You should be seriously puddles of goo right now because of how much he's given to you. But there's more, and there's more gifts to come. It says in the scriptures, beloved, we're God's children now, right now. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. That's more to come. But we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to become made like Jesus. He shines better than the sun in the kingdom of the Father. We're going to shine like that. More gifts to come. If God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? I mean, you have a house and a home now, but God's going to give you the whole world. The universe, all things. If we're children, then we're heirs, says the scriptures. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. And Jesus says himself, "He who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne." Just picture it with me, if you will. There will no longer be anything accursed. The throne of God shall be in it. "It shall not hurt or harm in all my holy mountain," says the Lord. "My name shall be written on your foreheads, and there'll be no more night, no need of lamp, of sun, or lamp, but the Lord God will be your light, and you will reign, you'll rule with him forever and ever and ever." Is there more gifts behind the tree than you've seen so far? I mean, all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ, God's Son. And all the promises are found under the tree of the cross, Jesus Christ. And there is so much more, so much more. So be excited with me as little children, and let's glory in the cross, the tree under which are all God's presence, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And we look forward to that day when Jesus, as our eldest brother, will say for the Father, "Come, O blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In Jesus' name, amen.